It's good to be a part of worship together. A few announcements we'll make as we prepare. Number one, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way that we do that, there are pew pads. On the inside of every pew, we invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Check all the appropriate boxes and send it down so everybody can fill it out. We do ask, once it reaches that last person, once you're done, if you could send it back to where it began this morning. We do ask that first person, when it comes to you, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for that. A few things we'll make note of in your bulletin, upcoming events, opportunities for the week. Reminder, we are having children's time right down here after that first hymn. Invite the kids to come see me then. Regular schedule tonight. Other things that are listed here in your bulletin. Everyone is invited to come see the movie. God is Not Dead. We'll be showing that in Smith Hall at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. So everyone is welcome to be a part of that. Monday night at 7:30 at Haynes Hosiery, the men's softball team, they begin the tournament. We'd love for you, for anyone to come out and cheer us on. 7:30 at Haynes Hosiery this Monday evening, weather permitting. So let's see. You have an announcement.
Come on. I guess I do. Friday, November 14th, Saturday, November 15th, we are looking at going to Women of Faith, which will be in Charlotte this year. It is, as I say, it should be exciting. The lineup of speakers and musicians looks amazing. We will spend the night there. Looking at, with hotel and tickets, probably right around $150. That may actually go down depending on the number of women that go and how many y'all decide to bunk together in a room. But we would love for you to go. However, if you are interested, I need to know this week. So if you will let me or Krista know that you are interested in going so we can kind of get that process moving because it is filling up quickly. Anyway, but we would love to have you. It's for women of all ages, and I think it'll be a good and worshipful time.
So do the men have to get the babysitters? Is that how that works? Yes. Okay. Daddies. All right. Let's see. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Many things are happening in the life of our church. And just make sure you make note of all those things. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You gave us your information a moment ago on the pew pad. We're very thankful for that. Ushers would like to give something to you. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you and they'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the history or story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. The psalmist writes, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths." Let us prepare for worship. pray with me? Father, we want to give you glory this morning. Throughout our lives, you have provided and blessed beyond compare. You have showed us the way to go with the example of Christ. And for his sacrifice and his forgiveness, we say thank you, and we come to worship. For the message that you have for us this day, may we have open hearts and minds to receive your word. Speak to us, and may we have the ears to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name. Okay, invite the kids. Come on down. Come on, Whit. Sit down here, crisscross applesauce for me. Thank you. All right, I have a question I want to ask you. Everybody's eyes right here. Okay, now it's a serious question. What does Jesus' voice sound like? Have you ever heard Jesus' voice? Okay, how tall was Jesus? He was short? Taller than anything? Okay. How tall was he? Do we know? No. Oh, but have you ever seen Jesus? Okay, so how do we know what, did he teach us things in the Bible? How do we know what those things are? How do we know what those things that Jesus taught us are? Let me tell you how. Because somebody, you have great Sunday school teachers. You have great people who work with mission friends and choirs. You have all these adults out here
who read the Bible and they taught us about what Jesus said. You know what? That's one of the coolest things ever. We don't know what Jesus sounded like. We don't know how tall he was. But because people for a long, 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 long time have told other people about Jesus. And because Pastor Raymond and Miss Mary and all your Sunday school teachers told you about Jesus, we know exactly what he sounded like and the things that he teaches us. Now, I have another question. When you go to preschool or you go to school, do you think everybody there knows what Jesus says and talks about? How do we tell them? It's a tough one, isn't it? How do we tell them, Whit? That people keep telling each other. That's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. How we treat one another, how we love our friends, how when we share our toys. That's how people learn about Jesus, is because we tell them. Can you help do that this week? Can you love your friends and take care of your mommies and your daddies just like Jesus wants us to and taught us to? Can you be friendly and be nice even when somebody else is not? That's what everybody has told us what Jesus said. So even if we hadn't heard his voice or seen his face, we know exactly what he wants us to do because people have told us. So can you go and tell somebody this week? Can you do that for me? Good job. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the privilege of learning from our children. You teach us through them, and we teach them your truth and your love. Help us to everywhere we go remember that we are the voice of Jesus' truth and to love people with everything we have and tell them how much Jesus loves them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good job this morning. Let's go back.
We have a really clever staff here, and they work together so that the music usually tries to match the message, except for when the choir doesn't quite get it sometimes. I think it's extremely appropriate today, and I'll just read you the words of the song that the choir is going to sing here in a minute, because I think it applies certainly to what Raymond's going to talk about later. Every day they pass me by, I see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter holds the silent cries only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. And the song finishes with this. We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? People need the Lord. Raymond's going to talk about us being the message, and certainly these words call us to do that. That's what Jesus has put us here to do. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful that we can be resolved to be that message in the community. Because we realize, Lord, that even within this crowd here, people need the Lord. Help us to know that every day, that you are there for us, even in the most difficult times, in the times when we feel so alone, in the times when life seems too hard to do. Lord, help us to take that and know it in our hearts. And help us to take that inspiration from that and return some of the gifts that we have, whether it be our talents, our monies, to you, because we know those are the ways that you take care of us. You provide so many things for us. We bring now these gifts to you, Lord. We ask that you would bless them as you bless us, that we may be the message and go out in the community to take your word to those who are lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, between Witt and Bill, I really don't have anything left. They took all my material. I tell you what, it is refreshing to hear our children get it. You know, it's refreshing to hear them get it. We understand that they've got good teachers, they got good parents, and but it is always a joy to hear them talk about what it means to tell others about Jesus and know that that is kind of how they're being trained and conditioned and taught, and that's truly a blessing. And we are beginning a new series today. It's entitled Be the Message, And there is a book by that title that you may have seen as you came in the foyer. They are down. We're down to about five or six copies now. I'll take this one back and put it on there. It's less than half the price of the retail on it. So when those are gone, we can't get them at that price anymore. So, you know, just saying, you know, don't knock each other down, but just saying. We're beginning this series because I think it really has the potential to change hearts. It's the message of the gospel. And how does it do that? Well, I think because we're going to focus on authentic faith. What it means literally to be the message. Because that's how Jesus changed our world. But it's not about religion. It's not about religion. We showed a really cool video in 9 o'clock, and I'll try to post it up on Facebook this afternoon. But you know, it's people's concept of what church is about. It's about a building or about what you do when you come to a building. And that really has nothing to do with it. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And everything else comes out of that relationship. How that relationship changes us and how we in turn help shape the world. With God's power, how we help shape the world. Two classic quotes I want to give you. St. Francis said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." He knew how to put preachers in their place, didn't he? "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." Karl Barth, who was a theologian, said, "The word became flesh, and then through theologians, it became words again." You know, there's a sad truth there. You know, I am almost certain that the world is tired of just hearing sermons. They want to see them acted out. They want to see them lived out in the life of believers. And so this series is not just about words. It's about being the message. Now, we're starting this series with an understanding of discovering and aligning our lives with our life message. And you say, what is that? Well, you've been given a unique life message that God wants you to live out. It's a unique story that has not been finished. It has not been finished in your life yet. No matter what age you are, it has not been finished yet. God wants to continue to write your life message through you. So we're going to read about how we're going to do this. But before we get into all that, we're going to read a passage of Scripture, which we're going to kind of shape everything around today. And that comes from John chapter 1, the first 14 verses. I invite you, if you got your Bible there, some of you probably saw in the bulletin where it's John chapter 1:1. Well, it is, but it's going to go forward from there. John 1, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not recognize him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, the gospel, the word gospel, means what? Good news. That's right, good news. It means good news, and this passage is telling us that the gospel or the good news is the word. And the word is who? Jesus. The word is Jesus. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we read the Bible then. My thesis would be, reread the Bible not so we can gain more Bible knowledge so we can excel in Bible trivia. That's not why we do it. It's not about amassing biblical knowledge for the sake of knowledge. We read the Bible so we can learn more about the God who created us and the Son that He sent for us to redeem us. So we read Scripture to learn more about God, to learn more about Jesus. You know, and the gospel is the good news about Jesus. And it's really good news because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God put on flesh. He reached out and touched us physically, in physical form. Therefore, He knows our temptations. He's been there. He knows our hurts. He's been there. He knows our frustrations and struggles. He's been there, done that. He was tempted in all ways, and yet He sinned not. And when He left, He sent the Holy Spirit to guide our path, to walk with us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to give us power to live the way that He taught us and demonstrated for us how to live. He also said that the Spirit would be there to remind of all that He had taught. Now, why is that? So we can teach others. As Whit said, so we can tell other people. So we can show other people. So we can be the gospel in action so others can see Christ in us, not through words, not through words alone, but through the power of the Spirit in action through us. Every one of us, we started with it, we'll end with it probably. Every one of us has a unique life message. It's been given to you. A unique expression of the gospel is God uses us. He works through our personality. He works through our gifts. He works through our abilities. He works through our life experiences. No one else has the same story that you do. We are not clones for Jesus. Okay? We are individuals God created. He gave us a unique expression of the gospel given by Jesus within us as a Christ follower. So you say, okay, how do I discover all this? Well, I think your unique expression of Christ to the world is discovered by doing several things. Let me try to put it into three kind of category steps, if you will, but certainly three categories of process that you may go through as you seek to discover your life message. The first one is listen for the divine whisper. Listen for the divine whisper. It's ironic, but when you stop talking, you find your voice. Okay? Why is that? Well, you start listening to God. When you stop talking, you have a tendency to be a better listener. Listener to God. Listen to other people. You have to hide yourself to find yourself sometimes. I love the story of the prophet Elijah. Prophet Elijah was, he was something special. I mean, he was something else. But even after the experience with the Baal worshipers on Mount Carmel, even after seeing God in all of His glory, Elijah has burnout, man. I mean, he runs away. He's exhausted. And he's whining to God, saying, oh, God, there's nobody else but me. I'm the only one that loves You. I'm the only one that follows You. He's literally kind of whining, having a pity party in his cave, you know. And God says, look, Elijah, let me tell you something. And it's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. I love that. Yeah, God sometimes speaks in a big way. I understand that. But at least in my own life, I have found that He more often speaks to me in a gentle whisper. Sometimes He does club me over the head. He has to get my attention. But more often than not, it's in a gentle whisper. And maybe it's because We're always talking. There's always so much noise. Our society is really noisy. There's always something, a radio, a TV, a computer, a cell phone. There's always stuff blaring at us. Always around people, always a crowd, city noise. And maybe we just need to get alone, to get silent before God so that he can give us our voice, a gentle whisper. Let me suggest something to you. We'll call it 21 minutes because I couldn't think of a more clever name, okay? 21 minutes. For the next 21 days, spend 21 minutes in silence and solitude. Now, if you're a morning person, that may take place in the morning before the day kind of cranks up. If you're an evening person, maybe it takes place after kids, grandkids, whoever have gone to bed, turn TV off. Just silence. Let me give you another helpful tool for this. There's 21 chapters. It just happens to be 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. Maybe you could read a chapter and just listen to what God's going to teach you. 21 days, 21 minutes. Try it. Then, not only listen to God, but listen to others. Other people. Start listening to their pain. Start listening to their hurts. People do need the Lord, and they're all around us. The pain and hurt, I mean, it's all around us, but sometimes we miss it because we're not listening. We may hear it, but we're not listening to it. It doesn't become a part of who we are. Listen to them and start looking for ways that you can be the message and be the difference as you listen. That's how you hear the divine whisper. Listen. Second, let me suggest that you recognize your sacred shout. You go, Raymond, that's a little strange. Well, let me explain. To discover and align my life personally with the life message, I do listen for the whispers. I do that. But then I have to recognize that I have a sacred shout. C.S. Lewis, great author. If you've never read Mere Christianity, I tell anybody and everybody that I think that's one of the greatest books outside of Scripture that has been written. C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf word. And that's really true if you think about it. God shouts out to us in our pain, in our failures, in our mess. That's what gets our attention. That's what turns us to God. And it's all about what God uses in our lives. It's about our pain. It's our pain that shouts to a hurting world that the gospel is alive, that God is real. And that's why verse 14 says the word became flesh. God put on frail human flesh so we could relate to him and understand his life message clearly. Through Jesus Christ, we can understand so much more about God than we ever could without him sending his son to teach us. So I guess the point in that is don't hide from your flesh. Don't hide from your humanness. Don't hide from your pain and your weakness and your failures and your mistakes, because so many times it's your mess that God takes and turns into your life message. I remember when we were in seminary, Randy Weeks and Steve Smith and myself would all sit together. We were eating cinnamon rolls while other kids were in chapel. I know, that's a terrible confession. But the cinnamon rolls a lot of times were a lot better than chapel. And we would sit there and we would joke about the fact people would come up toward the end of the spring semester and they would ask us, what are you going to do this summer? And more often than not, one of us would start into a diatribe with them about how, well, we were going to work on our testimony that summer. We were probably going to steal a car and then maybe get into prostitution and drugs and stuff like that to where come August we could repent, and that would make a great testimony. Whenever we could stand up and speak, man, we'd just have them right there. We'd have them right there how God had brought us out of all that. You see, we joked about it because all three of us, by God's grace and wonderful parents and great church people, we had never really wandered too far off the straight and narrow. And so we could joke about it. But there's a great deal of truth. No matter how good you've been in life, God can still give you that sacred shout. He can use the message, the frustrations, the hurts, the pains that you've experienced, and he can turn that into your greatest purpose, You see, it's your biggest obstacle that God takes and turns into your biggest opportunity to be the message, to be the gospel, to be Jesus to other people. Thirdly, I want to challenge you to embrace your holy disturbance. Now, that sounds a little strange too. So let me explain. You will find your life message when you realize what really bothers you enough to move you out of your comfort zone into your calling and into the lives of others. Let me say it again. You will find your life message when you realize what really bothers you enough to move you out of your comfort zone into your calling and into the lives of other people. Sir Francis Drake said, "Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore." Interesting thoughts there. Dream big dreams with God. Set your sails, head away from the comfort zone, head into unknown waters. Just imagine what God can do through you, how he can use you. You know, I love the message, the translation of the message. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 in the message says this: "The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." That's the bottom line. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus, the word, became flesh and blood so he could show us what love looks like. And now we're supposed to move into our neighborhoods and show them what love looks like. Understanding that our neighborhood this day is no longer just the guy or gal next door or just the person in the line at the grocery store. We live in a global community. We have the ability to affect more people now than ever in history. It's an awesome privilege. It's an awesome responsibility. It's an awesome challenge. And it can seem a little bit overwhelming, so let's bring it down to a personal level. What does it look like? Love the one in front of you. Period. Love the one in front of you. Jesus didn't say it's up to Raymond Smith personally to end global poverty. He didn't say that. But he did demonstrate very clearly for me how to engage and how to be a change agent for his love. How to love other people, to bring about change because I love someone else as he loved me. How do we do that? We love the person in front of us. Whoever that is, that may be your child, that may be your spouse, it may be a coworker, it may be someone on the street that you know of who needs help. And a friend, or it may be someone in the other side of the world. Love the person in front of you. Through our missions and our ministries here at College Park, I'm excited. I really am excited about what God wants to do through us to be the message in the world today. I think we are wonderfully positioned. Not to brag for our glory, but how God has blessed us. But with that blessing comes an awesome responsibility. My holy disturbance, if you'll allow me just a moment, my holy disturbance is the fact that I am becoming more and more aware as every day passes that I did absolutely nothing to deserve being born into an awesome family who taught me to love the Lord in the most affluent country on earth, while others, by no choice of their own, struggle daily for their very existence. They have no real possibility of enjoying the creature comforts that I enjoy and too often take for granted. And most importantly, many of them have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And if they haven't heard that good news, they haven't had an opportunity to accept him as Lord and Savior and live in the blessings, the spiritual blessing that brings. More and more each day, that disturbs me. Not in a false guilt sort of way, but in a spiritual disturbance. That fact spurs me each day to be a blessing to others. So what's your holy disturbance? What is it for you? What will it take to shake you out of your comfort zone and be the hands and feet of Christ so that others will have a chance to know Him? What will it take? Listen for the divine whisper. Recognize your sacred shout. Embrace your holy disturbance. Preach the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words. I would say only when necessary, use words. Dennis Palmer gave me a quote this morning, and I thanked him for it, and I said, I'm going to close my thoughts with it this morning. The author is unknown, but it gives us something else to think about. It says, each of us are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, in the deeds that we do and the words that we say. Others read that gospel, whether faithless or true. So what is the gospel according to you? What are other people seeing about Christ through us? It's challenging. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Gracious Father, we confess that we're not up to the task of our own strength. But we acknowledge that through your power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have given us an awesome privilege, an awesome responsibility to be your hands and feet, to love the person in front of us, to encourage those that we come around, that we are around, to listen, to truly listen to what they're experiencing and listen to you as you guide us in ministering to them. God, we pray that you would give us, we know that you give us these opportunities every week. We pray that we would recognize them this week. That we would recognize all the potential for ministry that you put right in front of us this week. Not only that we would recognize it, but that we would act upon it. With your power, with your courage, with your strength, that we would act upon those ministry opportunities. And as we do that, we pray that we would point others not to our goodness, but to your greatness, to who you are, and how you've blessed us so. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you do not have a personal relationship with Christ, I challenge you. Today is your day. Today is your day. God wants to have a personal relationship with you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you do not have that relationship, I'll be here as we stand and sing in just a moment. Be glad to share with you how you can have that kind of relationship. If you are here and you say, well, Raymond, I am a believer, but man, this kind of hit me between the eyes. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Yeah, like a 2x4. And God does expect you to act upon it. He does. Because you're here and you've heard this message, He expects you to act upon it. And it can be right where you're sitting. It can be an opportunity for you just to say, God, you know, use me. Straighten me out. Use me this week. Use me in the weeks to come. Make me one of your hands, one of your feet. If you're here and you say, well, I am a believer. I want to be a part of this church. I would like to join College Park. There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. If you have a decision to make and you want to make it public, come see me. We'll talk about it. We'll work it out as we stand and sing. Thank you. Following the benediction response, I encourage you, turn to one another, greet one another. If you haven't already done that, encourage one another, listen to one another. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that you loved us so much, that you sent your Son to teach us how to live, to teach us how to love, to redeem us from ourselves. God, we pray that as we leave from here, we would truly be used by a way, in a way that just defies our possible wildest dreams. Help us to look for those opportunities, to embrace them, and to give glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.